There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Man, it's beautiful outside. I've got a slice of birthday cake from one of my coworkers having the birthday party in the back there. And we all get to talk. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Let's go first to the phones. Ken wants to talk guns with me. Yes, Ken.
Hey, man, I just want to let you know that you're putting this... concealed carry in the hands of an $8.50 an hour employee, or now, you know, obviously more because of the shortage. But I came in to get my concealed carry. I was declined. They said I had a 2013 domestic violence case pending against me.
Do you?
I said, well, you obviously don't know my wife because that hadn't happened.
Okay.
And when we got down to it, they sent me for 4 hours chasing the job that they should have done. They should have taken care of this job. They didn't. I had to prove my innocence to them. And then when I got to records, they said, we have no idea what case number this is and who sent you here.
Okay, so what you're saying is they have you as somebody else. They have you marked as somebody else there.
They marked me down as somebody who wrote down my social security number instead of someone else's security number in a domestic violence case, and they would not give me a concealed carry permit. I found this out, you know.
Okay, because they think you're somebody else. They're not saying that, Ken, you can't have it because it's because they think you're somebody else, another person, right?
Right? I agree 100% with what you're saying, Sean, but here's the deal. At what point am I supposed to prove myself? They didn't go check on it for me. I had to walk where she told me to go upstairs in the courthouse building. They didn't have it. They sent me downstairs. I went downstairs. They didn't have it. And then they sent me to records, which is a mile and a half walk from the sheriff's station, which I walked to, and he didn't have it either. And then when I walked back to the sheriff's station to say he doesn't have it, she told me I had to walk back and get something with their letterhead on it saying that this court case did not exist.
Okay, so... And so you do now, they now have issued you one or not?
I have got one now, but I had to get Sheriff Cochran in, not Sheriff Cochran, but the number two man, into the room to make it happen because the women sitting at the counter would not issue me one.
Well,
and I'd done nothing wrong ever.
Right. So sounds like there was, it's almost like your call is about a semantic thing, right? Or it's the issue is not
no,
that
no,
you
my,
wouldn't
my
give
call,
you one.
My call is about you saying shall issue.
Yes.
And shall not.
Right. Well, versus may issue.
Shall.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so shall issue, right. Shall issue means they got to show why not. May issue.
Correct.
They could just not issue and not have to prove why in the past. So that changed. So it is
no,
more liberal.
We're talking within the last 3 months, Sean. So
I understand, but they believed that you had, yeah. If they believed you had that domestic violence against you, then that's a tag that you don't get a concealed carry permit. Now, there was a mistake, I can tell, and you're frustrated. I get it. I'd be frustrated, too. But that doesn't change the essence. It was
my point
that the,
is, My point is this.
What?
We can't go with just what they think. If it's going to be constitutional, let's make it constitutional. Because you cannot rely on these people punching buttons and your number be, you know, a 3287 and another number be a 3288. You can't rely
because there was a clerical mistake made. We need to throw out the whole system?
No, you don't need to throw out the whole system, Sean. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people need to be held accountable for what they're doing. There needs to be two checks and balances for what's happening. You cannot just say, nope, you're good. See you later. You have to have somebody say, okay, now, could there be a mistake here?
Right, and I think that's fair. That part of it, I'm on board. I mean, if you want to make sure they get it right, and Ken, I appreciate
you. That's not fair.
Well, hopefully it will be. Hopefully somebody will hear that, and you did end up, even though it's a pain in the tail, you did end up getting them to say, okay, that was not you, correct?
Correct. I did get that happen, but it cost me a lot of money because every time I went to each person to get them to search for my file, it costs me money each time. So
gotcha.
I go
okay.
to records and I go to whatever, and nobody, you know, it wasn't my fault that I did it wrong, but I had to pay nonetheless in order to clear my own name when I didn't do anything wrong in the first place.
Okay. And I think I followed this, and hopefully they fix that. It sounds like almost, you know, something we got to, Ken, I'm sorry it happened to you. But that's not what we talk about on the show is not like customer service issues, but we talk more about what does the system say? What does the law say? All right. Can I have some more of that birthday cake? All right. I got a buddy of mine actually holding on. I want to talk about this too, because this is something we've talked about in the past when it comes to the Utes in our area and lacrosse, and we've talked about this over the years. But I saw this, so y'all want to get fired up about what's happening with some of our own competing with some of them over in Louisiana. The Lower Alabama Lacrosse High School Varsity Bayhawks. I think I have that right. One of the coaches with the team, buddy of mine, Jason Capstraw, joining us now. Jason, did I get it? Am I close to being right on the team name?
You are correct. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you having me on this afternoon. And yes, we're on our way to Shreveport to go play for a state title.
Now, wait a second. How are Alabama lacrosse players playing for a state title in Louisiana?
Well, in the state of Alabama, the Alabama High School Athletic Association doesn't recognize lacrosse as a high school sport. Therefore, we have to go over to Louisiana to play through the Louisiana High School Lacrosse League. And you have the Lower Alabama High School Bayhawks, you have the St. Paul's, and you have UMS Wright. All of us play over in Louisiana.
So, I mean, your away games are away games.
My away game tomorrow is in Shreveport. Most of my games are in New Orleans, and I just came back from Lafayette last weekend.
What do you think about, obviously, you got teams that are playing at the top, you know, at the top here going to compete. Are we never going to get, you know, you look at lacrosse. I mean, is lacrosse going to stay in the kind of a world where soccer had been in our area, or do you think you start seeing more and more people coming to it? I know that when I've got kids' games and I'm down at Sage Park or whatever, I see the lacrosse kids playing down there while we're there playing soccer.
And that's exactly correct. And our hope is that at some point Alabama will recognize it. You know, we used to play over in Florida in high school until Florida actually recognized lacrosse as a high school sport, and therefore we kind of got pushed out a little bit. But lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States. My son and I, we travel all up and down the East Coast, all over the United States. And right now, there's more kids picking up a stick than in any other sport in the U.S. And yes, we are hoping that lacrosse is going to jump on just like soccer did with their heels and, you know, rise to that level of where everybody's playing. That's our ultimate goal.
All right. So you're going to Shreveport. The team's going to Shreveport and you play. Is it you play just one game, or if you play and win, do you play another game? How does that work?
So tomorrow we'll be playing at 1 o'clock. We'll be playing Jesuit High School, or Jesuit Catholic High School from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
In Shreveport, we are in the Final Four. We beat Jesuit tomorrow. We will then play Sunday at 1 for the championship, and which time we'll then be bringing that Louisiana trophy back and taking the picture at the Alabama State line.
I love it. If somebody wants to kind of keep up with what y'all are doing tomorrow and see what may happen Sunday, and I'm sure there's people who want to just learn more about, you know, lacrosse and getting to play, Is there a website they go to, Jason, or what do they need to do?
Absolutely. So if you're in Baldwin County, you're going to be coming over and playing with us. That's the Lower Alabama Lacrosse. And we're at lallax.com. That's lallax.com. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can find us on all of those locations. Over in the Mobile side, you have the Mobile Machine. And you will see mobilemachinelacrosse.org. We young both clubs run complete youth programs. We start at kindergarten. We go all the way up to seniors in high school. I can speak for my club. In the fall, we'll be doing Learn to Play. And we just want to get kids out and get them playing. Fastest game on 2 feet, baby. That ball moves.
Yes, it does. And as my son says, they get to wear armor, so it's a lot cooler.
Where else can you give a 10-year-old kid a metal stick and tell him hit that kid with it?
That's true. Well, and not get in trouble. Not get in trouble with it. I'm excited though. So once again, y'all, this is our team from here going a state away, through Mississippi, over in Louisiana, and possibility of bringing their trophy back home here. I hope that happens. I hope you get me many pictures of that at the Alabama state line.
Absolutely, my friend, absolutely. And I know Cox Cable out of New Orleans is showing it. VSN, Varsity Sports Network, New Orleans will be showing it online this weekend. And my boys work real hard. They've come together as a team. They're playing for each other. We're real proud of them. If they play their game, we're bringing the trophy home.
I love it. Jason, he is a coach with the Lower Alabama Lacrosse High School Varsity Bayhawks. So we're looking for Bayhawks. That's who we're cheering on.
Yes, sir.
Jason, thank you. Best of luck to y'all. Win it. Bring it home.
Sean, thank you, my friend. We'll talk shortly.
All right. Good deal. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Bring that in. Although it'd be cool if we could play that game here at home, but good luck to the Bayhawks there. Let me grab a couple calls here. Buck in Hurley is up next. Hey, Buck.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. And nice donkey.
Hey, well, we do what we can do.
Which we'll use that as a little segue, y'all. Remember, get your pictures in on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Plain Gardening of the Week, Picture of the Week. Buck's a winner. You could be a winner. Go check out the details on the Facebook page. All right, Buck. What's up?
Well, I'm pulling in here to the gate of the farm, and I see my wife has the big zero-turn radius mower stuck in the ditch. So I'm coming home with qualified operator jokes.
It's time to pull that. Time to get the chain, pull that thing out, or the strap, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll get the front end loader on the tractor, and we'll get her out, and I'll give her a hard time about it.
That's funny. Let's talk about this. I know you and I have talked about gun and Second Amendment issues, gosh, over the years. So, and I said I'm torn on this a little bit, from a constitutional carry to a concealed carry, because of and respect for both people that are on either side of this issue, between the sheriff and Representative Stringer.
Right. Well, you know, I'm an advocate of I'm the poster child. If
yes,
anybody
you are.
Is. For the NRA or for your Second Amendment right.
You are.
Me being a legal gun owner saved my life.
Yes, you
so,
did.
So, in all honesty, the gentleman with that had the clerical error, I completely understand his frustration in getting that. When you deal with government, you're going to deal with the bureaucracy, the blue tape, and all the drama that goes along. It just doesn't matter if you're getting insurance or registration or whatever it is. That's just government. But at the same time, the ladies there, or whoever it may be at the front desk, did have a job to do in that instance. And they would be held accountable for that, just as I hold my employees accountable for not doing the right thing or not doing your job properly.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, kind of what I was getting to with Ken there is that in this forum, we usually deal more with, like, the idea, you know, if something legal or not legal, or right or not right, you know, versus if you have that's not a question of talk radio. That's almost like a complaint line, right? Question.
Right.
Because he wouldn't be, I mean, now that stinks. I can understand if you're Ken and you're being told you can't have it, you're like, I don't have a domestic, but they didn't say that he can't have one. They said he, with what they believed was a domestic against him, couldn't have one.
Sure. And then I'm glad that they did their job, that they thought that they had found something. I mean, obviously, if we don't want people out there that have mental issues or that have violent issues in their past, well, obviously, we don't want those folks having firearms. And if they thought that he did, you know, they They did the, they did what they were supposed to do, the system of checks and balances.
Here we go. All right, Buck, I appreciate your call, and you sounds like you got a zero turn to get out of the ditch, so get busy.
Have a great, beautiful weekend.
You too, my brother. Thank you. All right, 121 FM Talk 106.5. Buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. joins us in just a second as well on this beautiful Friday edition of, well, it's beautiful outside of Midday Mobile, and it's beautiful in here too, darn it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
But to 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad you're here on this Friday. It's a beautiful Friday for sure. Hopefully you can get out there and enjoy it. Dr. Bill has laid out a pretty fantastic weekend weather scale for us. So Saturday and Sunday, good stuff. Y'all say hello to Robert Kennedy Jr. And lots to talk about here in the last few minutes of this segment. And then he'll hold on and talk with us after the break. So did you get all that on this this question about the, you had the sheriff's office, you had the sheriff disagreeing with an elected rep? And it is interesting because it's one of those situations where, I mean, they both are elected, right? Neither of them is, they're elected positions. And I think what happened was well within the rights of the sheriff to do. But what does it say? You know, that's the bigger story.
Well, first things first, good afternoon, Sean. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing
on an
good.
Absolutely gorgeous Friday afternoon. It was interesting hearing you go through the initial stages of that segment. But what popped into my head as I was hearing it is these are the types of things that make us as normal everyday citizens absolutely go crazy about the political environment. Right. And so, sure, was it within the sheriff's right to do this for the reasons that you articulated? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's all about power. Right. And this notion of somehow a person being in a representative chair, having the power to put forth what they're advocating for, and that running counter to what the sheriff desires from his chair. So interesting times. Politics make strange bedfellows, as they say.
Right. And You and I love a Second Amendment discussion, I mean, but it's not a debate.
Yep.
Did you hear me? I go through this kind of back and forth because I can understand both sides, the argument of constitutional carry and then the situation with concealed carry permit. I think I could argue both of them and do it from the heart.
Yeah, you can. And then for the folks in the audience who may not have heard us talk about this issue before, so I'm sitting in a Democratic chair,
right,
but I'm very supportive of the Second Amendment, concealed carry permit holder, et cetera, et cetera. From my perspective, the hurdle to get a permit in Alabama is so low relative to other states because it does not necessarily require you to go through any type of course or any type of training in advance. So I tend to lean along the sides of continuing to have some sort of a permitting process. Now, you can make the argument, is the five-year option, which is the current maximum time frame, can you reevaluate that to maybe extend that a little longer? But I think the notion of just not having any permitting whatsoever is probably a bridge too far for me personally.
Yeah, and it's from this is where I get torn because I talk to folks in law enforcement that are strong Second Amendment advocates, but I hear from them, and they support, not all of them, because obviously you see a break right here between the sheriff and Representative Stringer. But I talked to the majority I talked to, give me story after story why this is important to have this, you know. And it's still not a limitation. You can open carry, you can do all these things, but in concealment, they talked to me why this is important to help them do their job and help them do their job more safely.
Sure. This is actually interesting because your caller referenced this. I think it might have been Dave. I'm not quite sure. We had an incident. My wife, Aquilin, and I, we were driving around the district. It was actually in 2018 when we were putting out campaign signs in other areas of the district. And we got pulled over, right? And so when the trooper came up to me, I handed the trooper both my license and my concealed carry. And we went through this very precise interaction where, you know, I was telling him, I said, hey, I'm armed. He was asking where the weapon was located. I was telling him, et cetera, right? So we went through the whole process. And as I was talking to him at the end, he actually came back and thanked me. And he said, you're not legally required to do that, but when you hand me your concealed carry permit and you tell me that you're armed and you tell me where the weapon is, then the temperature goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't run the risk of somebody seeing something inadvertently and then just reacting in any one of the, you know, tragic situations that we've seen in the past. So, again, from personal experience as well as from political philosophy, I tend to like to have the permit continue.
All right. Coming right back, more with Robert right here on Midday Mobile. Get the news, Dr. Bill's forecast, and then right back to it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm sorry, getting a little clerical work done there during the break. So coming up, let me make sure I'm confirming the right thing. I confirm Monday. So programming note, looks like Monday at noon, most likely. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest Monday on Midday Mobile. So we'll talk with him, and also whether I do it or maybe Jeff does it, we'll get Representative Shane Stringer to talk about it as well. We'll hear both sides of this. And you can ask your questions then on Jeff's show or my show, and we can navigate this. Hey, right now, speaking of asking questions, y'all watch this. Hey, Angelo, what's up?
Hey, man, how we doing today?
I'm good. We're checking in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. What is what's precious metals? What's the story this week?
Gold and silver have bumped up a little bit. Silver right now is holding around 27 and some change per ounce. Gold's holding a little over $1,800 an ounce. And the premiums have dropped on both metals a little bit. So what it really seems is that the metal prices go up, the premiums go down. So you're still paying about the same price for gold and silver bullion right now. We've got plenty of both of those in stock. And, of course, like we were saying the other day, we finally got our orders of some of the cool stuff in. So those Mandalorian Beskar bars are here and in stock, and a whole slew of the Peanuts character coins are in stock as well.
All right. You know, we talked about Mother's Day and those gifts, but it's like the graduate season now, right? And getting gifts for those kids that are matriculating or whatever we call it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, as I know when we were young, it's like, finally, we're free.
Right.
And little did we know this was just the start.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, you want to get a cool gift for somebody? You're looking for something for a graduation gift or just an anytime gift? Those American Silver Eagles are great, you know, dated 2021, so that's a perfect way to do that for graduation. As far as the other gift ideas, we have so many different cool things in the gold and silver bullion items, as well as the open-L knives, the jewelry. Man, we just got all sorts of stuff here to check out.
Give people directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can find us online at mobilebaycoins.com. You can check out our inventory there. You can actually listen to Ron and I talk about coins, gold and silver, precious metals, all sorts of cool stuff. If by chance you missed us, because we are on 106.5 every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m.
Good stuff, Angelo. I'll talk to you soon.
You have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I'll continue our conversation with Robert Kennedy Jr. We got to ask about this one, too. I don't know if you got to hear earlier in the day during Jeff's show, he had Director of Labor for the state of Alabama, Fitzgerald Washington, on to talk about where we were with the unemployment in the state and where our rate is. And this is, of course, coming off of the announcement earlier in the week from Governor Ivey to start easing off, you know, the COVID protocol unemployment. I don't know what the right name is, but where we've been for it. What do you think? I mean, you think, let's go to the top. Let's go to Washington and President Biden. Are we doing the right thing for getting the economy going? I mean, do we need to get people back to work? I mean, there's companies out there that got jobs that can't find anybody to work.
So, well, the short answer is yes. We need to get people back to work.
Okay, and how?
The question is, how is it that we sequence turning off the money spigot, right? So one of the areas where you and I aligned, I think in opposition to some of the folks on both the left and the right, is that we believe that the original CARES Act thing that focused on things like payroll protection, enhanced unemployment benefits, and just making sure that some of the liability things that were addressed early on were all kind of pointed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You and I were aligned on that.
Right.
Where we started to have some interesting conversations was when people were getting money who never lost a job.
Yep.
Right. So in the case of something like the $1,400 stimulus checks, as a for example, right? So what I think is interesting about the conversation that is happening now is all of the focus is on the person who is receiving unemployment. Well, the person receiving unemployment is the person who lost a job through no fault of their own, right? And it's almost like we're laser focused on this group, but all that other money that's sloshing around, like the stimulus checks that just went out to people who never lost jobs, nobody's talking about that money. And nobody's talking about the $4 billion mm-hmm. that the state of Alabama is going to get as a result of the last bit of funding that came through the Biden administration. So,
right.
Yes, again, your short answer is yes. I think we need to move in a posture which encourages people to go back to work. But I think the order and the focus of where we're pulling back on money is misdirected.
Yeah, what I worry about is its effect of with the artificial, you know, artificial portions of this economy with that money that we have a not a clear view of the economy. And then we all talk about, well, when things get back to normal, well, so let's go and put everybody back in, you know, the money runs out. Everybody goes back into the economy at one time. Now we have a crush of people going in. That's going to affect a lot too. If I was looking like from a Keynesian side of it, so if I was trying to play, okay, how do we do this best? It seems like some kind of effort to get people where they're you know, got a foot on the backside, you know, hey, go back to work now, but you do it phased in so everybody doesn't crush the market at the same time. I mean, if I'm looking to hold price or wages up, that seems to make a lot more sense than keep extending it and kind of kicking the can down the road.
Well, Sean, I wasn't prepared to have a conversation about Keynesian economics, right? But I actually sit in a chair where we're dealing with this, you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't normally talk about my day job on this show, but suffice it to say that we're in the same hiring situation that everybody else is that's in the travel and tourism hospitality industry, right?
Right.
What we've actually found is that the folks who have been challenged to actually come back with the jobs that we've had available are typically impacted by something other than a job alone. So, for example, some of the concerns about childcare and their ability to get the folks to support them from that perspective. Some of it had to do with the issue of schools, and I know that some of that has changed in some of the counties here around the state. So it's not just as simple as this job is available and I'm sitting at home because it's economically better for me to take the government's money than to earn it on my own, right? So that's the reason why mm-hmm. I said focusing on that part specifically, yeah, it gives you a great GOP talking point, but, you know, that $4 billion, no one's talking about giving that back.
That's right. No, and yeah. don't expect any kind of, you know, checks sent back in the mail to Washington for sure. That is
no,
for sure.
Not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
The larger point
is well taken, right? So we need to start closing that money spigot. Because at the end of the day, you know, nothing's government funded. It's all taxpayer funded.
Hallelujah. Exactly right. Things are not, you know, and President Biden talks about free vaccines. They may be free to you, but they cost the taxpayer. So, I mean, they're not
sure.
Free. They're, you know, he wants you to get them, but they're not free. How about this? Here's some vaccines you don't have to pay for. Might be the better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, as always, I enjoy it, man. We'll talk again next week.
Hey, it's a pleasure. You be good and stay safe.
All right, you too. All right, let's do this. We'll run to the news here and then come back and wind it up. We'll be checking in. Tiffany Ray from Taylor Martino is going to join us. And reminder, too, well, this is like a programming note, and I'm making it as we go right now. Unless something changes, tomorrow morning's programming, we will have a best of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. The show that run, so Mike and I will be doing our show, our normal new show, from 7 to 8 tomorrow, but from 5 to 6 and 6 to 7, get a best of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. You have been having issues with a show that one of the very few shows around here that doesn't come from this studio, not doing what it's supposed to do. So I think we're calling an audible for tomorrow morning. So when you hear that, that's why. It's on purpose. All right, be right back.
This local news.